Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to Daily Pop, the perfect cure for your Super Bowl hangover. Any of y'all hungover today?
Tom goes, yeah. I wish.
I'm just a smidge, but not enough to be dragging. Just a little headache. That's okay, though.
I do my best work hungover.
I know, me too.
Okay,
all right, we're going to break down the halftime show and share the huge engagement surprise from over the weekend. But first, Justin Timberlake under fire for how he treated Britney Spears. The New York Times documentary Framing Britney just dropped on Hulu. Justin is getting a ton of backlash over it. The documentary talks about how his Cry Me a River music video pushed the narrative that Britney cheated. And now fans are demanding an apology, claiming Justin launched his solo career by shaming Britney. This documentary, I haven't got to see the whole thing from beginning to end, but I have got to watch most of it, and I can't wait to watch the rest. It is so good.
It's great.
Oh.
It's great.
It really, really puts you in a perspective back in time of a lot of things, not just about Justin's relationship, but just everything that happened with Britney in this time frame, and really paints the picture from the other perspectives and like things that we didn't think about back then that we think about now, how we talk about women, how we talk about breakups, how we talk about
mental health,
everything.
For sure. You know, I think that sometimes if somebody would drug up some of the things that I said in my 20s or did in my 20s, I think I would be sitting here apologizing for probably a two-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at what was going on, and I'm not saying it was right, but who in their early 20s or late teens didn't brag about a sexual conquest? Mm-hmm. Who in their early 20s didn't deflect blame of on a breakup on the significant other? It was my knowledge that there were talks that Britney Spears ended up hooking up with a dancer that she had worked for both her and NSYNC. So if she did do that and Justin Timberlake put his life into his art, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Who I think owes Britney Spears an apology was the media.
The media.
Who saw a little bit of blood in the water and went after her like they did. Who didn't handle, you know, the mental health issue and the conversation like we do today with white gloves. Because let's be honest, if we would see an artist shave her head and she said she had anxiety or she was dealing with depression, we were hands off.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
No one's going to touch
Everybody's
it.
Everybody's going to back off. But the media, especially back then, you know, how many years ago, they were bloodthirsty. You know, that's when paparazzi was really becoming a thing and trying to get the best story. And we look at it now, and Justin, I mean, should he apologize now? It was part of his life. Should he apologize that maybe he told the truth? Is it the truth? Why is it our business? I think the documentary is just showing Britney's side. It's giving her a chance for her voice to be heard. I see your face. I don't care what you say. I look at Justin, though, like this. He didn't defend Janet. He's not going to come and try to defend Britney. It is what it is. That's the past.
Why are we surprised that a white straight man gets passes to everything? And I'm not saying he was wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you should apologize for something that you did 20 years ago when your publicist, your manager, and all your business people were saying, we're going to go this route because we have to, you know, deflect. I'm not saying that. I just think that it's so surprising to me that people on Twitter are still demanding Ridiculous. And so shocked that white straight men get away with so much. Sorry, Tom and Gary, and have the other crew in here. I'm just, you know, you guys get a pass. You guys get a pass.
You get a pass.
But... You know, I want to go back to another part that the documentary highlighted. Justin and I were just talking about this, that whole picture, the umbrella scene. Mm-hmm. Remember the viral photo of her taking the umbrella and hitting it against the window? The way that they broke it down and how much she went through that night alone, how she was trying to go to Kevin's house, see her kids, got rejected by Kevin for whatever reason, mm-hmm. then came back and the paparazzi following her the whole entire night, hounding her as she's going through this emotional moment of not being able to see her kids. And they just kept hounding her, and she got to the point where she was just like, so angry. And and it's just interesting because what we saw was that snapshot of her with the umbrella and all of the headlines and the like, she's crazy, she's this, she's that, all of these terrible things. She's lost it. She shouldn't be with her kids. Look at how she's acting. And I'm sitting here thinking,
as
you
a
know,
mother.
As a mother, mm-hmm. I would be the same way. I would lose my...
We just don't have following us. I'm telling you, there are times
if I'm at an absolutely. Emotional high like that, yes. and somebody's saying, no, you can't see your kids, and then on top of that, I've got someone in my face night just yelling at me, saying, what's wrong? You look upset. Mm-hmm. What's going on? Can you talk to us? Can you talk to me? I would want to punch
you wouldn't
him
even
in the
use
face.
An umbrella. I'd use a brick.
Yeah.
They just didn't catch me. I've done some things. Let me tell you something. If it become, you know, my kids or I'm in love, I've jumped over fences. Ooh. I've broken windows. I've done a lot. Honey, I was dating this clipper one time. That's a whole nother story. But let me tell you something. When it becomes about your children, that she took an umbrella, you get frustrated, you want to see your kids, you will go crazy. And mm-hmm. then just because the paparazzi is there, they catch you at a moment and they say mental health. Is it mental health? Then we would all be committed. I'm sorry.
Right.
For sure. But that's why I need the cousin. Cousin Allie was driving her that night. And I do love Cousin Allie. I know her personally. But Cousin Allie needs to apologize because if you were my wing woman that night, or if I were your wing woman that night, mm-hmm. I would say, girl, you have a shaved head and you are in some Skechers. Get your ass in this goddamn car.
We argued about cannot... this. But I'm telling you, Justin, if it was me and you in the car, you would not be able to stop me.
If it was you and me in the car, I would be dragging you on the 405 knowing that you were in a fragile state, that I knew everything that was going on behind the scenes.
And I would say, Justin, you don't understand. You don't get it. You need it. You need to just back off of this. This is my kids. These are my life.
Great.
I'm going to
live. Yes.
But if we were in the car together, I'm like, I'm going to cause a diversion. I'm going to get the paparazzi over here with me. I'll start fighting the paparazzi. I was like, break the window, get the kids.
Kim would have grabbed another umbrella and would have gone there with me.
I sure would. I'd have been like, where's Kevin? Was Kevin in the car? Get out. Where are my children? Oh,
long story short, Brittany got treated unfairly over and over and over again. And if that's something that you haven't realized at this point, once you watch the documentary, you will realize that. Yes. And it really does make the Free Britney movement.
Makes sense.
It really...
It makes you see her side, her voice. I think that's what I said, the documentary is her voice that we all say, oh, and I say this because, let me just say this, Mike Tyson and Robin Givens, very good friends with Robin Givens, my girl. And I remember what she went through with Mike Tyson and everybody was against her. And I'm hearing the stories. I'm seeing her.
Right.
I'm not going to say it, but I saw. And then years later, everyone's like, oh, Robin.
We feel bad for you now.
Yeah, you all missed it. Because you just were blinded by making a creative headline.
And look what she had to go through. And she was like,
no, because he was a man. And we protected our sports stars, which is why we have the same situation with the Justin Timberlake of it all. We wanted to blame the woman for the breakup. We blamed the woman for her boob coming out.
If a man cheated, does that ever make headlines? No, rarely. Does that ever make headlines the way it did?
Depends on who
it was. Brittany. Brittany was the virginal. Brittany was, you know, the one. She was the abacus of it all. They just wanted to bring her down.
It's crazy, guys. It's all crazy.
It
you guys
is
gotta
all
watch
crazy.
It. Okay, just days after we confirmed quarterback Aaron Rodgers is dating Shailene Woodley, he announced he's engaged, okay? He broke the news while accepting the MVP award at the weekend's NFL honors. Listen to this.
2020 was definitely a crazy year, filled with lots of change, growth, some amazing, memorable moments. 180 straight days of having my nose hair scraped. I got engaged.
Wait, what?
You know, ESPN was like, we are not deleting that. You tried it, because you know the publicist called and was like, hey, do you guys mind taking that out? He and Shailene are kind of private. And they were like, hell no.
Okay, who did he get engaged to? That's what I'd have said. I would have said, wait a minute. But wait, did he just break up or did they get back together? Because it was such a close window.
Oh.
Okay. That's a good, I didn't even think about that. Is it Shailene or is it Danica?
Hello?
Because people do that when they break up. They come back and say, okay, we're all or nothing. Oh my God! Yes. I hadn't had enough coffee this morning.
Yes,
Donnie,
I was confused. What?
You guys, don't be making me think. We were convinced it's Shailene, right? Because he's dating Shailene. Don't be making me think now. What?
No, you're convinced it's Shailene because you live in a fairy tale. But yes. this is some real stuff right here.
This is some real stuff right here.
Well, he never named his fiance.
Hello? That's why I was confused. I was like, wait a minute.
We've been assuming that it was Shailene, but it would be very fast. Just last week, they confirmed that they were dating long distance and keeping things private and low-key. Now, we reached out to their reps. They didn't tell us.
Of course.
They didn't write back.
They didn't have a comment.
But now, remember, Aaron and Danica, as you talked about, they split last summer. So that's not very long ago. After 2 years together.
I am confused now. First of all, even
Danica
if it's Shailene,
needs to just like post a picture of like her hand with no ring on and be like,
"It's not me,
not me,
it's
y'all.
Not me."
It ain't her business.
Yeah, no. But some men love to just because wasn't he supposed to be engaged to her?
By the way, you know what though? Some men are so weird where they have the ring sitting there and it was supposed to be for somebody
else,
but they just keep it in a safe and then it's burning to get out of their hands.
Do that.
I will also say, and I've said this before on this show, Machine Gun Kelly and Ashley Benson got engaged. I made the pronouncement. I don't even know if that's
a
word.
But I like it.
I like it. The pronouncement.
Yes.
That celebrities like to collect people. When there's nothing else to do, when you can't charter a boat, when you can't rent out a hotel, it's just time to collect people. But I also think that they know we're in a pandemic. And just because you get engaged doesn't mean you have to be on an episode of 90 Day Fiancé. You can take your time with the wedding.
Well, he likes to be married, obviously. Because I think the other one was talking about engagement. That's how it all started. She brought it up. He didn't. But some men just want to be engaged. They do.
Shady.
Honey, rambles.
I love it this
okay,
morning.
Shady, because I was like this, because I've been there where she is.
Yeah. Where you broke up and then got an engagement ring 2 months later.
No, where we broke up and then he married somebody else.
Oh, damn.
Are you reading my diary?
Yeah, I think I've been there too. That's fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
All right, still ahead, you guys. Paris Hilton's special present for her boyfriend. Did it go too far, though? Plus, secrets from the set of American Idol. What Katy Perry just told us about mom life, boogers, and who she misses the most. That's all coming up next.
Pronouncement, y'all.
I love that.
Pronouncement.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A lot of the things that we experience, that we love to this day, are because of Black inventors. A lot of us don't even know about that. So it's important, while February is the month, we need to continue telling our stories and celebrating our stories beyond that.
Who's that one person that you admire, that you think about, that you've just looked up to your entire career?
Oh, that's tough. I guess it always keeps going back to Nina Simone. She was a rock star in the true sense of the word, meaning how rock stars, they break all the rules, they do things not the way the system says you're supposed to do them. Nina Simone is just goddess.
She kind of looks like Nina Simone a little bit.
I love it. Regina King is sharing the love during Black History Month. We are going to be celebrating all month long. All right, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, but it's the weekend's halftime performance that we really have to talk about. The Twitter sphere is divided. Time for some truth. Here, you guys, I need your y'all sipping. Don't be acting like I'm not gonna make you spill it. What, Kim, did you think?
You know what? I was just confused. See, I'm a big fan of The Weeknd. I love him. Huh? I was just, when he went into the gold room. The gold room got me dizzy, and he was looking around, and everybody had on these little I'm confused. I was like, that camera angle's gonna be the death of me.
You know what? I kind of loved it.
Yeah?
He looks like my friend John.
I think for The Weeknd, somebody who doesn't have as many hits or a catalog like a J-Lo or Aerosmith or a Beyonce, he really leaned into, I'm in COVID, I got a little bit of extra time, I got some things I could do and make it a cinematic performance.
True.
I think it's a standalone on its own. I don't think you could compare it to anything else. Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say, and I do love The Weeknd.
I do love him.
I often think celebrities and people who perform sometimes forget that they're not only doing this for their fans, they're doing this for the people outside of their normal group. So when you put on a halftime performance, you got to think about the country as a whole.
Oh, right.
So you have to bring out a special guest. You have to give people nostalgia. You can't do the Justin Timberlake.
I just kept thinking, there's a lot of people in America that are watching this going, who? I mean, I'm not trying to be shady with that, but there are. I mean, I think The Weeknd is great. And whenever he started singing, and I love, like, his music, he makes me dance because his sound, his songs, they're great. Mm-hmm. The whole time, though, I love an element of surprise. I really do. It's the
Why
Super Bowl.
Why would you open it up and have all that smoke? When he opened up, remember when it separated and the smoke? I was like, oh, God.
Oh, it's coming.
I was like, here they come.
Up, it's you again. Right. Same outfit. All right, got it. And maybe we're just spoiled from, you know, years past and how other people have done it and all the elements of surprise that they give. It was great. It felt to me like I just paid for, you know, The Weeknd's best concert ever.
It was,
you
know?
And it was his best. It was amazing.
Weeknd just put on the best concert ever. As far as like a Super Bowl performance, I want more. Mm. I want surprises.
But do you think it was because of COVID? We have to give him a COVID pass.
I will say yes.
Look how many people they were able to get in because of COVID. He could have gotten another star to sing with him. That's not difficult.
But it's not like that. It's difficult when you have COVID and you're in a pandemic. Most people do the Super Bowl because it's a way to advertise a new album or you're going on tour. Yeah. That's why everybody always announces a project right after. But if you're a celebrity and you have to put money into it, you got to get hair and makeup ready, you got to lose the weight, you got to go on stage and really put yourself out there for the Super Bowl, you better make sure it's going to pay out. But no one is doing anything, honey. Thank you, Miss Rona. So it is a little bit hard to get somebody on that stage.
I think
all the dancers, they all had on those masks, the, you know, choreography, dance routine with all those people on the field, they could not come together and touch and do flips and all the things that they normally would do. I feel like it was a COVID dance.
100%. But you know what? We're sitting here talking about The Weeknd performing. What we should talk about is how Tampa got all those people in the stands.
Those were people, those were cardboard cutouts.
No, there was a lot.
My mouth
Tom, was there a lot of people
there
in the stands?
There was people.
22,000 people.
But in a stadium
people.
That holds how many, though? It's it was only 25% full because of COVID, and the rest were okay, when the Super Bowl was over and the trophy was given out and all that, if you really looked at the stands, all you saw was cardboard because everyone was still sitting there, the cardboard.
It really threw me for a loop, though, when it first came on. I'm like, damn! Yes. I didn't notice it was cardboard. I was like, that place is stacked.
It was not. It was just, once it cleared out, you can still see the cardboard. It looked full still because no one had left. They were still sitting. They were waiting for the cleanup crew.
The special 22,000 that was able to go this year, you know? It's like this, there'll never be another Super Bowl like that.
No.
Right?
No.
Well, let's get into today's pop of love. Speaking of Super Bowl, we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes today. So sadly, he lost the big game when you're a Chiefs fan like me. But now his fiance, Brittany Matthews, is slamming ESPN for sharing a screenshot of Patrick looking defeated. She tweeted, cool, ESPN. Love the support of a major sports platform for one of the best players of the league.
All if right. she don't go sit her emotional
hormonal
behind down, really? So he's supposed to lose the game and be like, yeah.
100%.
No, I think she knows that he's upset. I think she doesn't like the fact that they posted maybe what she considers an unflattering photo of
him. She called it corny, but the problem is, I know you were probably a little bit tired. I know your hormones are raging. But this is part of celebrity. You gotta take the good with the bad. And now people know that you're answering to these tweets. You're gonna have every social media manager now next season trying to get, you know, a little bit of clout
from you. Right. Yeah. But as women, we are emotional, especially about our men. And she's pregnant. I get it. She is emotional. And you don't want your man to be seen. She was probably more heartbroken than he was.
Yeah.
You don't want to see him hurt.
But see, to me, I like that. All the shots of him, Mahomes, I kept going. My Zuri was over and my husband kept saying, because I kept all the sad shots of him. I'm like, oh, poor guy. He's just so young. He looks so sad. And then I was like, he's fine. He's 25.
He's 25. He'll
be at the Super Bowl again. Like, he's making $500 million or something along those lines. He's
fine.
He's going to be fine.
He's the one that got to go out with winning a record.
But it's like, you know, show those human sides, right? Like, you know, I'm not mad at ESPN. They're doing their job,
for sure.
Honey. Like,
I often also feel like sometimes when the wives get involved, it's like, I know this is like a public sport in a public arena, but this still is a job. And you can't just be beefing with the people who either are going to praise or put down your man.
Yes.
You're going to need those people in the long run. And 9 times out of 10, the person who's working this social media account is probably going to be working this social media account for a long time, because working at ESPN is a treat. Mm-hmm. And it is a gig. So you have to be careful. You got to play the game a little bit easier.
I mean,
she's going to get tired if she wants to fight all of the things that he's going to go through over his long career.
For sure. Giselle used to fight, too.
As that man is, can there be a bad picture? Really? He's cute. He's going to be all right. He's young. You can't make a bad picture.
Yeah, the sad pictures kind of shows how he was feeling.
Yes. I want him to be sad. I would have felt some kind of way. I'd have been, oh, he's arrogant. Had there been a picture of him at the end and he was just like, all right, well,
I got next year. You know, I want him to care. So, anywho, coming up, you guys, we are going to hang with Katy Perry on the set of American Idol, plus the reality star who's shooting her shot with Armie Hammer. And yes, it's landed her in hot water. Don't go anywhere.
Maybe her rear.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back. We have to talk about a disturbing tweet Brandi Glanville posted last night. She wrote, "Dear Armie Hammer, you can have my ribcage. How do you keep getting hotter and hotter? Hashtag let's BBQ." We all know there are some serious accusations about Armie right now. So why she want to throw her name in the fire here?
Because that Pinot Grigio was hitting harder than normal last night.
Brandi!
You know when it's like extra crisp? You know when the Pinot Grigio is not a screw top? It's one of those twist offs and you had it in the freezer right before you took it out?
Yeah,
the Grigio's hitting hard?
It hit hard.
It was Super Bowl. We were all partying. So we're going to give this one a tipsy pass?
No tipsy pass. She threw herself right in the fire. There's certain things you can say, but my rib cage, why don't she just say, why don't you lock me up in a dungeon 2 for 6 years? I mean, come on. Talking about, I can't. I'm just done.
Brandi, before you go dating Armie, just look at all the information.
Yes.
Make sure you've read all the articles, all the text messages. There's more information than maybe you realize.
But when you're thirsty, you're thirsty. She'll take any drink when you're that thirsty. I guess so.
Oh, geez. All right, you guys. American Idol is back. And Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, Lionel Richie are driving each other crazy already. Scott Tweedy got the scoop on the new season and some surprising secrets about what it's really like on set.
Who's at that?
I am now starting season 4 with the same message.
Pray for me, people.
He keeps signing up.
You're going to Hollywood.
Production's obviously changed a lot this time around. How's this more of an advantage for all the contestants?
The most important part is when you're in the room with a great contestant, we feel the greatness far beyond, you know, doing it virtually. Even in the room, we can't walk up and put our arms around these kids right now. We have to keep our distance. But we've had some pretty emotional moments already.
This is the first time in 4 years that just someone singing made me cry.
Hopefully they'll make it, and they'll make it past this pandemic. And right. They'll have to stand in front of thousands of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people. Hopefully it won't always be virtually, so they'll have to get used to it. And I guess we're the first test.
Whoa! We just broke all the rules for you because you are worth breaking the rules over.
Do you guys miss being nice and close with each other?
I am so happy to see these two crazy, wonderful people. You know what it is? I think I was going stir crazy at the house.
This is Luke. This is how
this is virtual. You see that?
I've been picking at Katie. I can adjust her hat, make sure her hat's okay.
I don't mind it so much. I mean, I miss Lionel. Hello?
Hello.
But Luke, I'm, you know, no longer...
Hey, you're the one that didn't put deodorant on today.
You see what happens here, right?
Well, I'm a mom. I forget things now. And also, I'm too busy. But now I don't get flicked by his boogers anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
They're cute. Okay, the new season of American Idol kicks off Sunday on ABC. All right, coming up, the Bachelor exes that are reuniting. Then our hilarious flashback with Salma Hayek. Plus, how she overcame her biggest fear. Our new interview is next.
It is time for the Hollywood Minute. Give me 60 seconds and I will give you the top Hollywood headlines. Let's get this party started. Now, could a broken-up bachelor couple be finding their way back to each other? Pilot Pete was seen with his ex, Kelly Flanagan, over the weekend at a Super Bowl party. A source tells us the two are having fun, and while they're not back together, they're working on their relationship. Hashtag complicated. 50 Cent is under fire for his Super Bowl activities. 50 hosted a party on Friday night at a private airport hangar in St. Petersburg and allegedly did not follow any COVID protocol. St. Pete's mayor said he's looking into things, tweeting, "This isn't how we should be celebrating the Super Bowl. It's not safe or smart. It's stupid." And he added that it could cost 50. Now, Jennifer Lawrence was not at the Super Bowl, but she is back to work after being hurt on set. Filming of Don't Look Up was halted on Thursday night after a stunt went wrong and J-Lo got cut over her right eye. Not the face, but she was back on set over the weekend filming with Timothée Chalamet. Look, I needed the extra 2 seconds. And that was your Hollywood Minute. Now, Selma Hayek is taking us to an alternate reality with her new movie, Bliss, on Amazon Prime. She told me why the film might hit close to home and the surprising way she overcame her biggest fear.
You know, I always wondered because I saw the extra interview from your movie, Grown Ups, and you freaked out when you saw the snake. Do you remember that?
Oh, how can I ever forget it?
Well, I want to know, how did this woman make it through dusk till dawn with that thing on her, but couldn't look at a snake?
Because the snake in the deck was not expected. Her head was up and everybody ran. Okay, bodyguards, cameraman, everybody ran and left us with the snake. Except, thank God, one of the hairdressers with his little bag. And by the way, all these matches ran, and the gay hairdresser was the real man in the room.
Oh, no, we will stay with you.
For that scene, I was on trance. I was dancing on trance so that I could overcome my fear because I have a phobia.
What did you say the first time you read the script?
No, it was not on the script. I agreed to the movie and then Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino decided that the dance is with the snake on me. And I said, I'm not gonna do it. And they said, okay, then we're just gonna go to another actress that wants your part. And I really needed to pay the rent. In some culture, the snake represented, I started doing research, your inner power. And my whole thing that I brainwashed myself into doing this was about dancing with my own inner power.
Oh my God, that is amazing. I still talk about it. That's gonna be my Halloween costume one day when I can get this body right.
Yes. You ready? There's my guy.
You know what? I decided to watch Bliss last night. I thought it was going to be a romantic comedy with you and Owen Wilson, and boy, was I wrong.
Ignore her. She's not real.
She feels real.
What's great about the film is that different people get to interpret it in a different way. When I decided to do the movie, I read the script, I decided that they were drug addicts that are trying to escape the reality they've created here.
Yeah.
You know,
it's interesting because I feel like we're going through so much. Do you ever wish that you can plug yourself into Bliss?
This is why the film is great. I think people did that. They created their own Bliss through technology, social media, movies, television shows.
Yes.
So that it became their escape. Do you remember a time where you asked yourself so many times, is this for real? What is real? When you watch the
Literally.
News, who's telling the truth? So the movie's super timely.
Wow.
Can you believe we almost didn't get Salma Hayek with that snake in Dust Till Dawn? That's when I knew. I was like, you know what? I'm probably gay. Because that did nothing for me except made me want to dance with a snake.
That did a little something for me.
Beautiful.
All right, you guys. Still ahead. What was your favorite Super Bowl commercial? We're breaking down the good and the bad. Plus, Gwyneth Paltrow, Andrew Barrymore's secret dating past. Do you know who they both dated? Ooh, that's after the break.
Once upon a time in a land called Hollywood, there lived people known as celebrities. And since Hollywood was rather small, these celebrities found themselves dating the same people. Mm. As we count down to Valentine's Day, we're playing a game called Ancient Kistery.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I'm giving Carissa and Kim two celebrities, and they have to name the ancient connection between the two stars. Okay. So we're going to start with an easy connection.
Okay.
Carissa, you're up first.
Okay.
Katy Perry and Taylor Swift both dated this celebrity. Is it Jake Gyllenhaal, John Mayer, or Russell Brizand?
John Mayer.
Is it John Mayer? It's John Mayer.
Yahoo! I got one.
All right, Kimbo Slice, first one for you. Gwyneth Paltrow and Drew Barrymore, two rich white ladies. What's their ancient connection? Is it Chris Martin, Owen Wilson, or Luke Wilson?
Ooh. I know Gwyneth dated Luke.
Oh.
Wilson.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with a Wilson.
I'm gonna go with a Wilson. Okay. Blonde one or the brunette one?
The blonde one.
Owen.
Give me Owen.
It's Luke!
You were so close.
I said
Cam,
Luke.
You did not get it. I'm sorry. Move on to the next round.
Okay, guys. The next questions are a little harder. You'll get two celebs, but there are three connections between them.
Oh, this is going to be a mind.
Carissa, can you connect Jamie Foxx and Keith Urban? You have Tom Cruise, Jennifer Lopez, Katie Holmes, Justin Theroux, Nicole Kidman. What is their connection?
Well, Jamie Foxx dated Katie Holmes. Katie Holmes was married to Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise was married to Nicole Kidman, who then went to Keith Urban!
Yes!
Yes! Yes! I just did that!
That is actually really good.
Thank you.
Damn, Kim, you must have really pissed somebody off in this show because they gave you this connection. Can you connect January Jones and Brenda Song?
Oh, God.
We have Ashton Kutcher, Macaulay Culkin, Demi Moore, Jimmy Fallon, and Mila Kunis. What's their ancient connection?
Okay.
Start with Demi Moore, because that's the easiest.
Is it?
Yes.
Demi Moore
dated
Ashton.
Yes.
So did Mila.
Uh-huh.
And so did,
Who did Mila date?
Wait, you need to go back to January.
That boy. Yes, she dated Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, Macaulay Culkin.
Okay, so let's go with, and go back to.
she did not get that.
No,
she did not get that.
No, she had all
You got it. You got it. You
got
all the players. Yes.
So.
Okay.
Yes.
You got
that
it.
That makes sense. Nah.
Unfortunately, you
lost. I got to say a name?
No, you got it.
Oh. I still won.
You still won.
You always win. I'm sick of it.
All right, you guys, that was fun. That was taking us back in time. All right, coming up, you guys, we're going to talk some true crime with Dateline's Natalie Morales. She is joining us live with details on a case that shocked everyone. That's next. I love Natalie.
Excited.
What was it about you that attracted her?
I was absolutely different.
Was it love at first sight?
Yeah, she was gorgeous. She was absolutely gorgeous, and she was amazed to hear my stories about other places because she'd never been anywhere or gone anywhere. And she was just fascinating to be around.
It's time for some true crime with Natalie Morales. Welcome to Daily Pop, Natalie.
Yes. Hi,
hey, Natalie. Justin and Kim. Thanks for having me.
This is very exciting.
By the way, we just heard from Michael Woods, whose ex-wife, Susan, is the subject of your first story as a regular correspondent for Dateline. What was it like sitting and talking to the family members of Susan?
Yeah, you know, this is a case that goes back almost 30 years. It was sadly a very brutal murder in a small town in Texas. Susan Woods, there you see her. She was found brutally murdered in her bathtub by her father in 1987. It took almost two decades for detectives to really crack the case. And, you know, going back and looking at all of the evidence, there was so much evidence. The problem was, when you think about the technology back then, there was no DNA database. Yes, you had fingerprints, you could match blood samples, but that's pretty much all there was to try to crack these crimes. So a lot of cases went cold, and sadly, this was one of them. And, you know, Susan Woods was, you know, a real, you know, classy woman who was just working class woman in this small town in Texas. By the way, it's Stephenville, Texas. It's known as the cowboy capital of the world. So it was kind of an interesting place to go see. They happened to have the rodeo going on as I was there. So, fascinating to get a glimpse into this town. And real conservative town. And so this murder was a real shock.
So Natalie,
it took a long time.
So Natalie, with this case, what was the most disturbing thing that shocking thing that you found out?
Yeah, you know, it's actually, you know, as you saw Michael Woods there, her ex-husband, he was the prime suspect for almost two decades because he left her, they separated, and it ended on very bad terms. So he was suspect number one. As they say, you know, when you know, a murder is committed, they look right to the spouse.
Yeah.
And he had left town just weeks before she was murdered. I think what's fascinating is getting into the mind of the killer. And that's what I love about digging into these datelines. You get to go deep. You get to really... go into the, you know, the interview, knowing how to kind of get out of them what they did and how they went about doing it.
But sometimes, I mean, look, I'm a fan of Dateline, and sometimes you're doing cold cases where they haven't been solved. What's it like for you knowing that you might be sitting across from somebody who may have committed this crime?
Well, you know, I think that's the goal, is you hope that if a case has gone cold, if you do a little enough digging, that it brings stuff back up to the surface and people start coming out of the woodwork. And, you know, there have been some really interesting stories with Dateline where that has happened, where just by bringing the story back, all of a sudden people start talking more.
I'm very excited for you. This is my favorite. You cannot turn on Dateline and change the channel.
Right?
It catches you. I don't care what you're doing. I'm so excited
like
for you.
We like to suck you in.
They love to suck us in. Well, Natalie, we have a date for Friday. Her first episode as an official Dateline correspondent airs Friday on NBC. Congratulations, and I can't wait to
see
you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Up next, we're breaking down the best and worst Super Bowl commercials, and there's some bad ones, girls. So come back. There's some bad ones.
Do you remember the Julia Roberts movie Sleeping with the Enemy? Well, it premiered 30 years ago today. We dug into the E-Vault to look back at one of our first interviews with Julia, who was only 23 at the time.
can't live without you. And I won't let you live without me.
I screamed. I was obviously scared. I'm also really easily scared, so I'm sort of a sucker for a movie like this.
Everything in here as it should be?
I don't know why I forgot.
My philosophy is that in making a movie and putting the time and energy and love and emotions into something for a certain amount of time, and then basically turning to all the people and saying, this is for you, I hope you like it. And whether they do or they don't is beside the point.
Wow.
She was so young.
So young, but looks exactly the same. Yes. She's just, she's one of my favorites.
That movie was my jam.
Yes.
Oh, Lifetime used to play this and Not Without My Daughter with Sally Field.
Oh, my God.
All the time, and 16 and Pregnant with Kirsten Dunst over and over again. And this was like the first time where like you really like had to sleep with one eye open because your husband might be the one. You know what I mean? Like, it was weird.
Oh,
it was
my
good.
Gosh.
It's a classic.
I'm going to go back and watch it.
A little fun fact, Julia Roberts was originally not cast in the role. It almost went to Kim Basinger.
Wow.
I could have saw it.
I was going to say, another good choice.
But I'm glad it was Julia, right?
Yeah.
Now we had so many more movies with Julia after that. Okay, yes. Before we go, we have to talk about the Super Bowl commercials.
Absolutely.
Kim, you go first. Who is your favorite?
Okay, the one with Tracy Morgan. Killed me because Tracy's a fool. I was dying. The one with Drake was hilarious. You didn't like some of them. I enjoyed them. They were killing me.
I loved it. You know what? I kind of sort of liked.
No. John Travolta. I'm sorry. Not the girl. When I saw, I realized it was John Travolta and he shaved his head.
Shut up. Shut
he looks so sexy. Look at him. John Travolta can get it.
Yes,
John, holler at your girl. He looks so sexy.
I was so shocked at how many A-list celebrities they had in commercials this year. Way more than I feel like previous years. I was thinking, like, people are bored. They have not been working. They have free schedules. They're like, you know what? We normally can't get Mila and Ashton, but I bet we can this year for a duo in the same commercial.
Oh, for sure.
And let's go ahead and get Gwen and Blake, and let's get Matthew McConaughey, John Travolta. I mean, it was just...
People are broke. They're ready to work. They are ready to work. My favorite was the Bud Light commercial, where they brought all the old past Bud Light people back together in one commercial.
Yes.
And my favorite part of the whole commercial, do you guys remember Bud Light Presents
good.
Real Men of Genius?
Yes.
You remember that? I used to have the whole CD with all like 40 of them on there. And they finally showed the guy's face. And he's exactly what I thought he would look like.
He's right there.
That's him.
Oh, that's
hilarious. A good one. That's a good one also.
Yeah. I loved it.
I loved the Mila and Ashton. I love Matthew McConaughey, the flat Matthew. I thought that one was just, I watched it before it ever even went because he put it on his Instagram, but I literally laughed out loud every time I watched it.
Right, and we, of course, loved Michael B. Jordan as Alexa.
Yes, that was hot.
Over. It was so, I enjoyed all of them. I couldn't wait till the commercials came on. I was like,
so good. All right, for more on the top ads, scan your QR code on your screen. It'll take you to all of our Super Bowl coverage at E! Online. Tomorrow, Wells Adams is here to break down all the Bachelor drama, and model Ashley Graham is going to teach us how to take the perfect nude selfie.
Ooh, should I not wear clothes tomorrow?
No, don't need them. All right, see you tomorrow. Bye.
Bud Light present.